Live is live at William Hill now. If your selection wins a high five race by five or more lengths, you'll get a 25% bonus on your winnings. And if you back the runner-up and it's beaten five or more lengths, you'll get your money back as a free bet. The offer applies to races with six or more runners at all National Hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday. All National Hunt races shown live on terrestrial TV and selected meetings during the rest of the week. High five from William Hill. Terms and conditions apply. Visit williamhill.com or the William Hill app for more details.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Rory Delaghi with you on this edition to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Racing coming from Newcastle and Wolverhampton on Monday. At least they're the races that we're going to focus on. Also action from Bangor on D as well to look forward to. Fingers crossed, no inspections pending as we record this on Sunday afternoon. Hello, Rory. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Good to hear. We're going to focus on two races at Newcastle, two at Wolverhampton. We'll get to that shortly. We'll first discuss some of Saturday's action. We saw the new one winning the Champion Hurdle Trial at Haydock in what I think we described as typically workmanlike style.
Yeah, he's a really genuine horse. And he's won this race three times, but every time he's won it, he's had to pull it out of the fire, really. He's won it through guts as much as anything else. And he'll go to Cheltenham and run his race again. And obviously the track holds no fears for him. Previous festival winner, he won the International Hurdle in grand style in December. You do feel that maybe the race has passed him by. He's had chances in it before. But on the other hand, it's a weaker Champion Hurdle than we were expecting. You know, we're still waiting to see what we have with Fahin and Annie Parr. Who dominate the market?
Fahin, the favourite at the minute. Yanworth then 9-2, 5-1 for Annie Power. Petit Mouchoir 15-2, Brain Power 12s, Vroom Vroom Mag 14s. Then the new one at 16s. Bigger prices for Jezky and Superb Story and the rest. Purely the fact that the new one is going to turn up there surely is a tick in its box at present.
Yeah, yeah. Because there are plenty of these who would be slightly doubtful runners, and. Yeah. We don't know where Fahin is. We don't know whether this is going to be his race, if he is ready to run. And I know, having spoken to connections at the start of the season, the line there was, you know, Rich Ritchie said, you know, we'll look at the World Hurdle with Fahin as a possibility. And that's a few people picked up their ears with that. But obviously, if Fahin and Annie Parr arrived at Cheltenham at the top of their form, one of them would run in the World Hurdle, one of them would run in the Champion.
Yeah,
it's not really an issue for either of them. They're both proven over 3 miles, and they're both proven Champion Hurdle horses. But having spoken to Mr. Rich's racing manager, he said, listen, that's not the kind of thing you think about in advance. We would be absolutely delighted if both of them were fit come the middle of March. Mm. You know the game too well to expect that to happen, and I think, you know, given that both of them have had their injury problems over the years, there has to be every chance that, you know, both of them won't be, they certainly won't be lining up against each other, but there must be a chance that both of them won't be lining up at the meeting at all. So I couldn't be getting involved in either Annie Parr or Fahin, particularly Fahin at this stage, which makes Yanworth a favourite. And he looks beatable. He didn't have much to spare over the new one at Kempton, and Cheltenham will probably suit both horses better. So although in previous years the new one seemed to have a much better chance, he's a much bigger price this time around and what looks a weaker Champion.
I was going to say, I having watched the race yesterday, thought, no, not for me in the slightest. But then you sort of look at the others and you go, actually, 16-1's pretty big if you want to play each way.
Yeah, when you're comparing him with other horses in the race, you know. Mm. Brian Parr's just won a handicap and it's a 12-1 shot. And I think you can, you know, if you're a long-term fan of the new one, go for it. I've knocked him every year going into the Champion Hurdle because they have been strong races, and he is a horse with jumping issues because of problems he's had with his back in the past. He's suffered from kissing spines. That's something that is always in danger of recurring, and if you watch the way he jumps, he looks after himself and he's a bit straight-backed, and he's not as quick from one side of a hurdle to the other as some of his main rivals, and that tends to be curtains in a Champion Hurdle.
Mm. As we've seen before.
Indeed.
The JLT then is a race that's, well, I was going to say beginning to take shape. We're recording this about an hour after we saw York Hill win over in Ireland. York Hill is the 11-8 market leader. Altior 6-1. Bouverdere is 6-1. Tens then for Bells Hill, Clander's Oboe, and Coney Island. Whisper 12s, bigger price to the rest.
Well, and again, the new one's a shorter price for this than he is for the Champion Hurdle, even though he's going to run in the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, so exactly. And there are a fair few as well in this that may not turn up. These are just the anti-post prices. York Hill 11-8. All the talent in the world. I wasn't that impressed with the jumping.
I wasn't impressed with anything about him at Leopardstown. It was a weak race. His main rival was a non-runner, Annabelle Fly. And he beat an outsider who hadn't shown much aptitude for jumping fences prior to that. He started to go more and more to his left in races. It wasn't particularly noticeable today at left-handed Leopardstown. Mm. It was very noticeable at Punchestown when he was last seen over hurdles. And again, obviously Cheltenham was less of an issue. But you don't want to be doing anything wrong in a grade one at the Cheltenham Festival. So I saw no reason really to shorten York Hill up today and what he did. And I've seen some of the logic for making him very short in that, oh, it's only a second race and he's got plenty to learn, etc. You can make that argument for plenty in here. It's a very difficult anti-post race because, again, traditionally you've got two big novice chases at the festival. You've got the Arkle and you've got the RSA. And people don't always plan to run horses in the JLT in the first place.
It
crystallizes in time, although it's become a very classy race. And I'm not sure where I would go with the market as it stands at the moment. It's very difficult backing a Willie Mullins horse for any novice event at the festival because Willie will shift them around according to where his best chance of winners are. It's happened every year. There's no reason to think it's going to change now. So there's half a chance you won't see York Hill in the race anyway, even if everything goes to plan between now and then. So 11-8 doesn't help you enormously. Of course, you've got Bells Hill in there in the same colours for Willie. Bouverdere is an interesting one. Altior and Bouverdere ran in the same race at the festival last year, and the Supreme Altior won that. Bouverdere was a very good third in the end, having been held up off the pace, and then was impressive in winning it at Aintree. He gives the impression he might stay a little bit further. And although Nicky was happy to run them in the same race last time, he might separate them this time around. And Altior's clearly an Arkle horse. He's got speed to burn. Bouverdere gives the impression that although he would you'd probably say he'd be better at the 2 mile than 2.5, he looks the slightly more adaptable off the pair. And so he could easily end up there. But again, you know, he's a 6-1 shot and that might not be the race for him. And, you know,
it could completely fall apart, this race, in theory.
So the chance you may well have something at a big price there. How big do you go prices-wise? You may well find that it's worth finding something that you know is going to turn up as a bigger price, knowing that a few of the fancied ones will fall by the wayside. And it still isn't easy.
It isn't. We're looking at
as in finding a guaranteed runner in there. It is it's not easy. No. A lot of these that we're looking at would be more likely to go RSA than this, and a couple of them would be more Arkle horses. Clandes Oboe at 10-1 there. I'd have thought this would be his race. They think it'd be a 3 miler in time, but he's very young, and I think for that reason their JLT would be more suitable race for him. Than he's definitely not going to go for an Arkle, even though he's been running at between 2-2.5 to date. I don't think they will drop him back to 2, and I don't think they'll go 3 this early with him. So this is a more likely race than anything for him, and he's a double-figure price. And although I thought his Newbury win was a little bit overrated at the time, but on the back of that, I thought he was very, very genuine in defeat at Cheltenham in his next start, and he's clearly going the right way. Does need softish ground, and we're never sure we're going to get that at Cheltenham in March anymore, but he's interesting enough at 10-1. But again, it just shows you how much there is for these markets to develop between now and March. It's only 7 odd weeks away, but there's an awful lot of water to go under the bridge.
You mentioned as well that to win a top class race at Cheltenham, you don't want to be making any mistakes, i.e. York Hill jumping left.
Yeah.
At the same time, you don't want to be backing a horse at 11-8 at the festival if you know that those mistakes are prevalent.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
From a punting point of
view. You imagine if you've got an 11-8 shot you want to be against, that it should be easy enough to find value. But yeah, I dare anyone to look at the top end of that market and name five horses and get five runners, or even get four runners, to be honest. I think it's a very hard race to call in terms of what its shape is going to be on the day.
We could introduce that as a market, couldn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Just guess the runners.
Yeah, pick any race at Cheltenham Festival. You pick five horses, and if any four of them line up, you win 10-1.
Genius. Just for legal reasons, that isn't actually a market, just before people start getting...
But, you know, we might send that upstairs and see what happens.
Yeah, we could try. Right, we'll turn our attentions then to Monday's racing. We'll start with the 3:10 at Newcastle. It is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. We've got six runners set to go to post as things stand. And I will just say, tomorrow's meeting at Newcastle is the high five meeting here at William Hill. So if all six do stay in here, this race will qualify. Not a bad little contest.
No, and I think you're less likely to have very tight finishes on soft ground at Newcastle than you would elsewhere. So it's an attractive one in that regard. You can, typically for a race like this, you can give chances to an entire field. Subtle Grey would have a terrific chance on the best of last season's form. You know, beating Kilbury Kid at Carlisle, for example. But well beaten on his belated reappearance in a race won by Ballybooker Breeze at Bangor. And you just wonder... whether he's as good now, for whatever reason. He pulled up on his last start last season. That was a tough race. That's a Midlands National. But beaten a little bit too far for you to be confident about him. Could easily leave that behind. You know, a lot of horses just are very stuffy. Fayette County's got all the ability in the world, but he's never been easy to win with. He's probably going to be favourite for this, isn't he? But he finally managed to get his head in front and scrambled home at Worcester. But he's been a tremendously... frustrating horse to follow over the years. You know, from an early stage, he looked like he was going to be very good. And he's clearly well handicapped based on his ability. But you just got to look through his form figures. There are not enough ones there, to say the very least, with Fayette County. And I know Tim Vaughan's bringing him a long way, and you have to respect his chances, but he's almost certainly going to be conservatively priced, and you can probably look elsewhere. I am going to go for Alto de Motte down at the bottom. I'm hoping that his run... less than a fortnight ago in the North Yorkshire Grand National is not going to take too much out of him, because he was not unlucky that day. He never figured with a chance, but he actually ran on past beaten horses late in the day to finish 6th of 14 behind Stride Nahana, and he found the ground too quick for him. He couldn't go with them. I know it was the drop back and trip, but the key to him is deepish ground. And the ground ended up being good at Catterick, which is completely against him. If it hasn't left its mark, he would have decent chances. He was a winner over Course and Distance last year, beating Ascamore Darcy off a mark of 112. Did that in very, very good style, won by 13 lengths, and went up nearly a stone in the weights as a result, and was only just touched off in last year's North Yorkshire Grand National. So he looks very attractively handicapped off a mark of 123. He's a 7-year-old who's still improving, and he gets weight all round here. So if he's fresh enough after a recent run, then I think he takes plenty of beating. It's always a little bit of a worry, obviously, when horses are coming back fairly quickly after races over marathon trips, but I'm hoping that won't be an issue. He's not going to be favourite or second favourite or possibly even third favourite in this. I think he's forecast to be the 12-1 outsider of the party. I think if you get 12-1, you'll be doing well.
Yeah.
But he will be outsider or close to outsider of the field here, and that underestimates his ability.
Okay. We'll stay at Newcastle for the next race, the 3:40, a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, the extended 2.5 mile trip, I should say. Tap Knight already a non-runner for this, as we record at 3:30 on Sunday. But there are a few arriving here in really good form, and a few arriving here with no kind of form whatsoever. Should we start with Sue Smith's runner, Persade, who's a horse that I really like?
Yeah.
Just, it's hard to know, and I don't think Sue Smith is entirely sure what this horse's best trip is.
Yeah, because he's won over 2.7 miles at Bangor this season, and
that can be seen as a good thing or not. He's very versatile.
Yeah,
but
and then he's won over 2.1 miles at Sedgefield. He's running at an intermediate trip, 2.5 miles, which should be fine for him. He found the trip probably a minimum. Last time, in fairness, he got to the lead, was passed, and then battled back to get his head in front. You know, he needed every yard of it to win the race from Spiculus. I suppose you could argue that his very best efforts have come on sharpish tracks. Bangor and Sedgwick are pretty sharp, much stiffer at Newcastle, but, you know, he stays further than this. He's got a very, very good rider, who's regularly on him, it has to be said, and Sean Quinlan. I think he's consistently one of the most underrated jockeys in the country. Very, very good hands, very patient, and he gets the best out of horses. And I think Sue Smith's delighted to have him riding the majority of her horses. I think he brings them on really well. But he's won two races this season. He's up in the weights as well, up to mark 113 now, so he needs to improve again to win. But you certainly couldn't rule him out, and you've got no problems with his attitude. So he'd be near the top of the list. I would take a chance on one at what I expect to be a bigger price. Do you have a betting forecast there in the Sporting Life?
I do. I will just say these are forecasts. We're calling this prior to our early prices coming out. What are you looking at there?
Actually, it's not as big a price as I thought he would be. Perseid's put in as the 3-1 favourite on the tissue, as it were. Belize is 8-1. I thought Belize would be a double figure price, but I think he's interesting.
Okay.
In that he's been beaten a fair distance twice since winning at Southall in May. The first time he ran too bad to be true, finished last at Fontwell. But he was a lot better, despite being beaten 26 lengths at Utoxeter last time out. I thought he ran really well. Probably found the trip stretching him. But he was beaten by Bryden Boy. Bryden Boy has run twice since then, finished a very good second in his next start, and absolutely bolted up at Ayr last week off a much higher mark. So Belize was facing a tough task in meeting a Bryden Boy in his ideal conditions and heavy ground at Utoxeter. He's been dropped a pound by the handicapper for that. That will have brought him on as well, I think. And I think he'd be ready to run to his best tomorrow. And he's the youngest horse in the race at the age of 6. I think there is more to come from him. Alan Johns claims 3 off him. And Alan Johns was on board him when he beat Dasinski at Southall over this trip in May. So if he brings that form, he goes close.
Okay, Belize gets the nod in Newcastle's 3:40. We'll shift our attention to Wolverhampton then. The 3:30 contest, we'll jump 10 minutes back in time for this one, which is a handicap over 5 furlongs. Only 4 runners, still moderately competitive, but there's one place to start, and that is with Dazakam, who's been in absolutely flying form of late.
Yeah, Dazakam has improved in leaps and bounds in recent weeks. She was a winner off a mark of 57 over course and distance in late November, and she lines up tomorrow off a mark of 86 over 2 stone of improvement. The question is whether the handicapper is now caught up with Michael Harrington's Camacho filly. She beat Gracious Tom half a length over a course and distance last time. Gracious Tom is solid, decent yardstick, but clearly not ahead of the handicapper. And he's been beaten since. I think she's vulnerable with 10 stone 4. It's a hell of a lot of weight for a small 3-year-old filly to carry. And clearly connections are keen to strike while the iron's hot. And she is a course and distance winner. She's got 2 easy verdicts over Street Jazz. Street Jazz won 2 starts ago. That was in a maiden race over course and distance. But either side has been absolutely stuffed by Dazakam. 8th of 9 at Chelmsford, and then last of 4 here last time out. In fairness, there's not a huge amount between them on form, because Street Jazz is a fair bit better off at the weights. And despite finishing last of 4, has only beaten two lengths and a neck on that occasion. So there is half a chance that Street Jazz will actually be able to turn the tables. But 2 comprehensive defeats and 2 runs against Dazakam is not particularly promising. And while the bare form of her maiden win looks good on paper, the fact that she's not run to the same level in handicaps is a little bit of a worry. I'm going to end up taking a bit of a chance. The obvious one is Kashmir for the informed Tom Dascombe Yard. Gets a reasonable racing weight, all things considered, getting 11 pounds off Dazakam, and is in good form. So I think Kashmir might end up starting favourite for this. But the horse who's going to be the outsider of the party is Roundabout Magic. Finished last at Lingfield on Saturday, and that's going to put a lot of people off. And indeed, if you watch Roundabout Magic on his last 2 starts, you'd be wary of him because he pulls like stink. But the key to him is if he can settle, he's a lot better than his handicap mark. And the question is whether putting Holly Doyle on will help him. And for me, there's a very good chance that is the case. A lot of headstrong colts settle much better for girls than they do for lads who try to fight them. And Hector Crouch, who held his horse up at Lingfield, well back that day as well, went off favourite at Lingfield. Held it up towards the back of the field, trying to get it settled. Didn't settle there and couldn't pick up at all. Previously, he caught the eye running over 6 furlongs at Lingfield when John Egan rode him. And again, he pulled John's arms out in the first furlong. John just let him stride on, and it looked like he was going to just drop away and finish tailed off last. He actually kept going really well until the last furlong before dropping to fifth of six. But I think if Holly Doyle can just let the horse stride on, not try to fight him and let him relax, he can actually surprise these off a mark of 64. And I'd rather he wasn't held up. I'd rather he was just allowed to do his own thing, and hopefully they'll ignore him. And he might just settle on his own, whereas he won't settle when he's among horses.
Okay.
Whether those are the tactics, I don't know. But I think it might be, you know, it's worth a little bit of a risky bet because, again, he's going to be the outsider.
Okay, Roundabout Magic won at a big price to consider in the 3:30 at Wolverhampton. And the final race we're going to look at is the 4:30 from Wolverhampton. This one over a mile and a half. We've got nine set to go to post here. Some really interesting types here. Some that are thoroughly exposed. We know exactly what we're getting with them. Some that are quite unexposed. The likes of Snobbery, who was fairly well spotted last time, ran no sort of race. The tongue tie applied on this occasion. Some returning from a break. Some have been in decent recent form. Plenty of angles in here.
It's certainly an interesting contest. You mentioned Snobbery, who's arguably the most interesting one on paper, the son of Duke of Marmalade. Duke of Marmalades have a very good strike rate at Wolverhampton, are on tap at it generally, as Andrew Mount, who was on yesterday and Friday, would tell you. But for whatever reason, he ran a stinker. He was completely tailed off behind Petite Jack. Roger Charlton says that he believes the horse choked, and therefore they're trying a tongue tie. That might just be the thing that cures the issue. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that will work really well. If it's a case of him swallowing his tongue, then clearly the tongue tie will stop him doing that. I think there is the language that Roger Charlton used. He said he may have choked. Mm. So they're not quite sure exactly what happened. There's every chance that it's some kind of wind problem, but some wind problems will be helped by a tongue tie. If it is a case of them actually swallowing their tongue, mm-hmm. or you know, the tongue just blocks their airway, then that will help. But if it's a different kind of breathing problem, or indeed it's a blood vessel problem, for example, then it won't help it. And I think Snobbery would be a risky bet, especially if he's a short price. But you know, on other angles, I would say that if you're looking at open handicaps at this time of the year in the all weather, you should start with the 4-year-olds.
Okay,
because that's where you're most likely to get natural improvement. You know, they're getting fully mature, but they're still getting a little bit of weight, and they tend to be less exposed. The other 4-year-old in the race is very interesting, and that is that's Dream Factory for Marco Botti. Marco's in tremendous form at the moment, firing in winners left, right, and centre, and indeed horses running well at big prices today. 21 winner the other day with Roman Navigator at Chelmsford. He's had a number of horses running really well. A Slice of Life very nearly won again at 20-1. Soprani was just touched off at the weekend. And I think there'd be very few yards in better form than Marco. And Dream Factory is clearly going the right way as well. Had very little chances in handicaps in the frame every time before winning at Kempton last time out, where he beat Santabury Spring. And I think he'll win more races. He's up £4 for that, but he's clearly getting his act together. The concern is whether he'll be as effective at Wolverhampton as he was at Kempton. And I know that Marco has said that he thinks he might be better on a galloping track. But he's got a nice inside draw there. I think he's probably got more in hand than one or two of these. It's a tough race. I mean, you can make a case for most of them. Tangram didn't have the greatest sit last time out and is capable of defying top weight, but Dream Factory might just have more upside than most of these, despite slight concerns about the track.
Okay, Dream Factory gets the nod then in the 4:30 from Wolverhampton. Great stuff, Rory, pleasure talking to you as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
What have Man City, Joe Root, Rory McIlroy, Andy Murray and Q-Card all got in common? They can all be combined with William Hill's new Acca Insurance, Acca 5. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.